Father, may that Spirit inspire us now as we come to you. Give us ears to hear in Jesus' name. Amen. John Bradford tells his own story of the lesson he learned when he went on his first overseas holiday. Now, John's a 42-year-old Englishman who had never been out of the UK ever. His destination, Thailand. So he bought a new camera, a new backpack, and he bought a map, and he highlighted all the places he wanted to visit. And so when the plane landed in Bangkok, he was straight away approached by a taxi driver who spoke English. "Have you got your accommodation ready, sir?" the driver asked. And John said, "Yes, I googled it. And apparently Bangtan Motel has 4 stars. "Oh no, don't go there," he said, "that's not safe. Can I suggest a clean and tidy hotel?" "Sure," said John, pleased at the helpfulness of this taxi driver. Sure enough, he was dropped off at a really nice looking motel, greeted by beautiful Thai girls with garlands of flowers and pretty smiles. He signed in, got into his room. It was actually better than he expected. He went down for a drink and there were some really friendly locals who told him the best place to eat and the best place to shop. They told him the best place that tourists go. Little did John know that from the time he got off the plane, every single person he met was not there by accident. His flowery shirt, his new camera around his neck, his excited look, even his new shoes gave him away. It made him a target. You see, the locals have developed a sixth sense in identifying tourists who are naive, who are easily stripped of their money. So people like John are taken to these hotels that charge twice the normal rate. But Westerners rarely notice the difference in price because it's so cheap. The restaurants that he was recommended to go have 2 menus, one for locals and one for tourists. What John didn't realise was that all these friendly people, the taxi driver, the locals at the bar, the pretty women handing out flowers, all get a commission by referring people like him. My sister told me that she would never ever go to Thailand with her husband again because he was just like John. And if he's listening to this sermon, I apologise. She said he stood out like a sore thumb. He brandishes his wealth and attracts all the people. Every con artist will see him. At one time, a lady came over and began to flirt with my brother-in-law, offering to sell him some handmade necklaces. And he was really flattered. And he bought one, though he didn't need one. And he came to my sister and he winked and he said, "See, I still got it." And my sister said, "You do realise that was a man, don't you?" The Apostle Paul begins this section by reminding us of the incredible wealth and riches and blessings we have in Christ Jesus. We are overloaded. And then he says, "Do not take them for granted, but continue to live in Christ. Continue to guard them. Continue to be built up and strengthened in the grace that you have." You see, the treasure, or that pearl of great price that Jesus speaks about, it's freely given to you and me. It's given freely, but it's at a great price to Jesus. He died to provide that. The Apostle Peter says, "It was not with perishable things like silver or gold that you have been bought, but the precious blood of Jesus." While we live in a world that gropes about the darkness, that speculates what's really the meaning of life, you and I have been given the truth by the Creator himself. While those in the world seek happiness and contentment in money or work or pleasure or reputation, you and I ought to know that happiness is not found there. I'm amazed at the various studies you hear year after year, costing millions of dollars. And the conclusion of these studies is what every Bible reader knows automatically. The Apostle Paul describes the believer as the most privileged person on the planet. And he lists all these privileges in verse 13. When you were dead in your sins, God made you alive. We were once in bondage to sin. Now we're free to live as God calls us to live. Once we were blind, to our situation. But now we can see clearly. Previously we were rebels against God. He has forgiven us all of our sins. Notice this, every sin that you and I have ever committed, every sin that we will ever commit, Jesus has paid for in full. It is true that when we sin today, we grieve the Holy Spirit and we break fellowship with the Lord Jesus. But thankfully, repentance restores that broken relationship. The apostle says, when any person counts his privileges that he has in Christ, no matter what circumstances they may be in, verse 7, they overflow with thankfulness. No matter what situation you're in today, no matter how difficult it is, when you count your blessings, you will overflow with thankfulness. But then comes the warning. Guard that treasure well. Do not take it for granted, or it'll be taken from you. I remember a lady who came to church for years. She came to church regularly, attended two Bible studies. Her kids would say to her, "Mum's always reading the Bible. She's always listening to sermons." Her favourite discussion point was God and His grace. She just could not get enough. But today she cares very little about the things of God. She drifted away and did not see the signs. She began to take for granted God's gift, and she lost what she had. In the letter to the Galatians, the Apostle Paul is so upset that he foregoes the usual introduction of the letter. He begins with a rebuke. He says, "I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by his grace, and you are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ." There will always be people who will seek to throw you into confusion and pervert the gospel of grace. That will never change. But the apostle is upset at how quickly the people fell for it, and how quickly they traded the blessings of God for a pot of stew. The truth of the matter is this: the more that you cherish what you have, the harder it is for you to be conned. The more you take for granted what you have, the easier that you become a target for those in the world. Twice in this passage, the Apostle Paul warns us, do not fall for the lies and tricks of Satan and this world. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, Satan will try to outwit you, but we are not unaware of his schemes. But I wonder, is that true? Is that true? Are we really aware of the tricks and ploys? Jesus once said to the Apostle Peter, he said, Satan wants to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. Are we aware? There are many people whom we call friends who have a totally different agenda to the one that God has for you. Are we aware that the events that seem to happen by chance, just when you have set time for God, these are no mere accidents? Are we aware that the media and Hollywood are actively seeking to separate you from your faith in the Lord Jesus? With just a few words, Satan sowed the seeds of doubt in Eve's mind with these words, "Has God really said?" And how quickly the doubt sprouted. Okay, so you've got this incredible blessing. What now? The Apostle Paul gives us a warning in verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. See to it that no one takes you captive. Earlier in verse 4 from last week's sermon, Paul says this, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you with fine-sounding arguments. Paul reminds us in Galatians, he says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm. And do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Don't let yourself be taken away. You see, in church, you may be reminded that your status in Christ is wonderful and that's a comfort to you. In church, you may be aware that your sins are forgiven, all of them, verse 11. In church, you may be reminded that your eternal home is a place where there is no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, and no death. And that brings you support, and it should. But what happens at work? What happens at home? What happens in your social contact? What happens with those who don't really understand or care about Christ or his message? There are many people who will take off their spiritual hat and put on their worldly hat. They take off their spiritual wisdom and put on their worldly wisdom. They have learned to compartmentalise their lives. They keep two things separate, and therefore they lose their joy and their strength and their hope. They may know the truth of the gospel, but it never impacts them. They keep the truths separate. Jordan Peterson is a professor of psychology who is in Australia at the moment, speaking against the whole transgender movement. He tells the story of a patient who came to him, and the patient was no longer able to function in the real world. This patient, lady in her mid-20s, said that her mother told her as she's growing up that all the people in the world, all the adults in the world, were beautiful angels with pure hearts and motives. Every adult you'll meet is a beautiful angel. Well, as you can imagine, even from the groans down here, this girl grew up extremely naive. Every adult she saw, she believed was an angel. And as a teenager, she was abused and mistreated and hurt to the point where she could no longer function in the real world. And that's why, as a young adult, she ended up at Dr. Peterson's office. He found out that she had a university degree, which surprised him, because she still believed in her mid-20s that people were beautiful angels, even though she'd met so many who abused her and mistreated her. He asked her, "Have you read history? Have you read about Hitler and Stalin?" She had. But she told him she had learned the art of compartmentalising the two things from an early age. You see, this lady believed that people were basically good and loving and kind and wanted the best for you. And at the same time, she believed they were the most horrible and wicked people on the earth. And her cure, Dr. Peterson says, was to make her look at the real world and get rid of this compartmentalising. You see, there are followers of Jesus who believe that in Christ they are perfect and blameless, verse 22. But they also believe they are worthless and insignificant. How can they believe both at the same time? There are Christians who believe they are precious in God's sight. Zechariah calls them the apple of my eye. God says, "You are the apple of my eye." But they also believe they have no value. And they judge themselves according to the world's estimation, verse 16. There are people who look at the blessings they have, an enormous treasure, an eternal treasure, and they are overwhelmed by God's grace. But they also believe that happiness is found in what the world has to offer. And they are miserable because they do not have the things of the world. Like the young woman, they believe two opposite things at the same time. They've been deceived. They've been conned. And they've lost their joy. They've lost their spark. They've lost their zeal. They have taken on what Christ has done. And they get rid of the things that they believe. Verse 8, "See to it that no one takes you captive," Paul says. That's your job. "Do not let yourselves be burdened by the yoke of slavery," says Paul. "Do not let anyone disqualify you from the prize," verse 18. According to the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, or the ACCC, scams cost Australians over $100 million each year. And dating and romance scams are at the top of the list. You see, there are many people who are conned out of their money every single year. But far more serious for our purpose are those who are conned, not out of their money, but out of their spiritual blessing. Millions each year are conned by these scams. The danger is never blatant. It always begins with a very small compromise. It begins with a small concession here. We go against our conscience just a little bit here. It all comes down to the choice we make. Paul says, don't let anyone con you. Don't let anyone take away the gift God has given you. That's our job. Whenever we do anything, no matter how great or small, that goes against my conscience, we are walking on thin ice. Whenever we try to justify ourselves by saying, it's just this once. I know it doesn't please God, but just this. We are learning the art of compromise. And that is incredibly dangerous. We see the danger in verse 20. As those who have let go of the sure word of God and are now relying on their experience. Such a person, says Paul, goes into great detail about what he's experienced, and his unspiritual mind puffs up with idle notions. I no longer need to read the Bible, they say. I have my experience. I don't need God's word. I have tradition. Verse 21, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Don't eat meat on Fridays. Give up chocolate for Lent, and so forth. All these things. I've had people say to me, I don't read the Bible anymore because the Holy Spirit directs me personally. How do you answer that? Or I believe in God, but I don't believe in church because I don't believe in organised religion. Or the most popular statement of our day, I'm not religious, but I am very spiritual. You see, Satan is just as happy with the overly religious person who adds to the gospel burden after burden as he is with those who believe in the gospel and think that the gospel gives them freedom to be whatever they want to be. Satan's just as happy with either. Both extremes are deadly. Such people, says Paul in verse 19, such people have lost connection with the head, that is Christ. Like the man who said to Jesus, Lord, Lord. Like the Galatians who are following a different gospel. They do not realise they've actually left the sure foundation of the word of God and are now standing on shifting sands of compromise. The Pharisee who came in the temple confidently and prayed before God, Jesus tells us that that Pharisee left in the same horrible state that he came in, though he believed he was right. You see, friends, in practice we guard and protect the things we value. Whatever you value, you'll guard and protect it. We defend the things that are of value to us. Where your treasure is, says Jesus, there your heart will be. And for those who look at the list of God's blessings and who value them more than their superannuation and their bank balance and their worldly achievement, they will guard them with their lives. They will not trade them for any relationship that comes along. They will not compromise their faith and jeopardize the eternal treasure as Esau did. They'll not be afraid to be accused of horrible things. You see, the world calls you uncharitable because you will not condone what the Bible condemns. The world calls you unloving because you refuse to change the definition of what a Christian is. The world calls you heartless for believing that if you don't heed to Christ's warning, you are doomed for eternity. You will not win many friends into today's society by following the word of God. And Paul says, do not let anyone judge you. Verse 16. Now, you can't stop people making statements about you, but you can stop taking it personally. As we saw last week, it's not personal. They are rejecting Christ, whom you are professing. Well, the Apostle Paul concludes by asking these penetrating questions, three of them. Do you want the genuine article, which gives you hope and joy and security? Or do you want that which has the appearance of wisdom? Verse 23. The genuine or the one that appears to be genuine? Do you want God's grace that when it's unpacked is unimaginably gracious and generous? Or do you want the false humility that is offered to all who seek shortcuts? Verse 23. Do you want that which will make a difference to your life and to your eternity? Or do you simply want that self-imposed religion that Paul tells us in our last verse is useless, lacking any value in restraining sexual indulgence? For those here this morning who know the truth of the gospel, who experience the rich blessings that are found in Christ Jesus, the challenge is clear. Do not be spiritually naive. Do not allow yourself to be conned and robbed of what Christ died to give you. Guard well the good deposit, Paul says to Timothy. Do not take it for granted. Don't let anyone disqualify you from the prize. Don't let anyone judge you by external factors. See to it no one takes you captive through deceptive and hollow philosophies. And how do we do that? Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, says Paul, continue to live in him. Continue to be grounded and established in Christ. Every time you read God's word, every time you speak to the Lord in prayer, every time you share about God's work in your life, you are being strengthened and reminded of his blessing. The outcome of those who use these means of grace is that they always overflow with thankfulness. Let me conclude with a scene from Pilgrim's Progress. Pilgrim has been in the dungeon for a number of days now. He was captured by giant despair and thrown into the dungeon. Each day was worse than the previous day. He was beaten, he was threatened by the giant each day. And laying there in his misery, feeling depressed and hopeless, suddenly a thought comes into his head. And he jumps to his feet and he says this, "What a fool! What a fool I have been laying here in this miserable state, beaten and dejected, when all along around my neck hangs a key given to me by the great King to unlock every door and obtain freedom." He takes the key and he unlocks the dungeon door and escapes the clutches of giant despair. And the key, he tells us, is the precious promise of God. See, these are the blessings that Christ has given to you. And he warns us, do not take them for granted. My prayer this morning for all of us is that we may never forget, one is the cost that they were provided for you. And secondly, the power in the gift he has given. We can now say no to sin and yes to righteousness. Do not let anyone disqualify you from the prize. May we delight in the opportunities we have this morning. May we delight in God's people and being built up and strengthened in the faith, that you and I may be overflowing with thankfulness. Let us pray. Father, how often we do take for granted the things you've given to us.